Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. Usually I'm joined by JP Ong, but today he is taking a well-deserved break and hanging out with family. In his place, we have no slouch. It is Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX. I told you I couldn't say that one. And what a day we come back to work on. The concerns for the Wuhan coronavirus, the jitters throughout the region in all the different markets.
Yeah, basically.
Your thoughts, Jeff.
We've seen all the, concerns of the weekend take their toll on the markets from the open. So whether you're looking at the Dow Jones last night, whether you're looking at the STI this morning, most of the effect has occurred on the open. So for the STI, we're trading at around 3160. That's 3160.
That's over 2 points down.
Yeah, exactly.
2%.
Exactly. It's exactly just a little bit over 2% from its end of 2019 level as well, which is 3222. So I guess the REITs have managed to hold on to some of their gains. So if we look at the SGX iEdge REIT index, that's up around 1% still for the year to date. And the big two stocks that we watch every day very closely, obviously, Singtel and DBS. Singtel is down 1.5% today at $3.34, and DBS is down nearly 2.5% at $25.56. Where there's been increased activity.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Healthcare.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
All related.
Sorry. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So who are doing well?
Okay, well, it's essentially the rubber glove makers. So Top Glove is the largest of it, Riverstone Holdings, and then UG Healthcare are there as well. And there's also been one microcap stock, Medtex International, which has really been trading a lot of turnover since this really picked up last week. For instance, this stock, Medtex International, the reason I say it's a microcap is last year it had closing market capitalization or market value of $20 million. And if you look at the screens today, this stock has been just outside the top 10 by turnover and traded $25 million in turnover.
In one day.
In one day. The stock ended last year at, I think it was 3.7 cents a share, and currently trading at around 14.5 cents per share. It's had a phenomenal move. But I guess the bigger stocks like Top Glove, that ended last year at $1.56. It's now trading around $2.19. Riverstone Holdings ended at 92.5 cents last year and is currently around $1.14. And then UG Healthcare ended last year at 14 cents. It's currently at around 19.8 cents. So they have had significant moves and seen a significant pickup in turnover as well.
Okay, so at that point, if the medtech and the medical stocks are doing well, how are hospitality travel stocks?
Yeah, well, that they felt the that if you looked at the US leaderboard last night, those stocks, the entertainment stocks, as I would say, basically did get the brunt of the sell-off.
Right.
And hence we've seen that a bit today too. So where did Genting Singapore end last year? It ended at 92 cents a share, and it's currently trading at 87.5 cents a share. So that's obviously felt a bit of the brunt. I guess looking back to 2003.
There are a lot of people who are drawing parallels with that SARS time.
There are. And a lot of those sectors were the travel and tourism sectors that did manage to feel some of the sell-off pressures, as well as technology stocks, which was interesting because given where we are in the technology cycle now, which has had a pretty good run last year.
Right.
So we have seen a little bit of volatility, I guess, in those related areas. And I guess as we are concerned here about not just Wall Street but also Main Street, and you got to remember F&B accommodation was one of our strengths, and one of our strengths of 2019 growth, which we don't expect to be very strong, I think 0.7%. But nonetheless, the F&B and accommodation services, expansion of F&B businesses was a bright spot for the Singapore economy last year. So we're obviously watching that very closely, but obviously more concerned that we get the containment right.
Okay. Now, we both lived through that 2003 SARS episode. Me here in Singapore, you were somewhere else.
Yeah, no, my folks were in Hong Kong, and they
were quite the epicenter, weren't they?
They were, and I was broking in Australia at the time, and my grandmother had just passed away. And my parents had to obviously come down for the funeral, my mother's mother. And I remember the office place being very concerned that I would be in close contact with my parents
at
the height of the SARS. Yeah, exactly. I remember that as a sticking point. But yeah, 2003 is the year that a lot of the sort of the parallels have been looked at. For the STI itself, it had a good start to 2003. Mm-hmm. I think it had rallied 5% in early January. And then from that peak, it basically fell 15% in the height of it through to the 10th of March. And then obviously we saw relief packages here. A lot of the Infectious Diseases Act was invoked, I think the 24th of March. And as the SARS subsided somewhat, the STI did recover, mm-hmm. and I think it ended 2003 up 33% for the year. So the volatility obviously did occur with mm-hmm. the onset of the pandemic of SARS in that February and March area time when it basically saw 15% sell-off in the price of the STI.
Okay, so fast forward to 2020, we are faced with a very similar pandemic. I think we're at the beginning of it. And it could mean that we have weeks, if not more than a month, of the jitters and the uncertainty to the markets.
And the focus on containment.
Right.
And that's where all our focus really has to be. Markets move up and down. They go through cycles. Mm-hmm. We go through this. The more we can contain it, the less impact there is on growth, because it's the impact of the coronavirus on growth that really spooks markets and has that impact.
Okay.
Because you look at the price of gold, for instance.
So we're talking safe havens now.
Safe havens, yeah. Yep. But it's up 3% in the year to date, mm-hmm. which you wouldn't think is a lot. Participation's up a lot more. Volume, daily volume on our gold ETF is up 60%, so right. up 3/5, which means your trading turnover is up around 80% in the year to date, albeit the price is only up 3% slowly. But where it had its real move was last year. It was between the end of April and the end of August, when the whole outlook for global growth mm-hmm. really slowed down.
Right.
And the whole expectation for US interest rates, I think at the end of April, the consensus expectations for 3 successive rate cuts was only 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was up, it was up around 50% by the end of August thereabouts. So we had a really big, significant move over a good 4 months or so. And that basically saw, crude oil fall off 14%, gold actually rally close to 20%, around 19% over those times. So it's when the projections for the impact on global growth actually do start coming out and so forth that, you might see some market reaction. Well, that's what markets are reacting now, the potential impact.
Right. Okay. Now, the illness or the worry over the Wuhan coronavirus isn't the only uncertainty. We're a few days away from Brexit. Is that causing any uncertainty? Isn't that adding to any of the uncertainty? Because nobody knows what's going to happen with business deals, with trade deals, come the 31st.
Yeah, exactly. And we remember we've still got the same risks going. We were always a little bit tentative in terms of the outlook for this year. Yes, global growth is expected to accelerate up to 3.3% from a 10-year low of 2.9% last year. Manufacturing sector in the US is still a little bit cautious on the outlook. Tonight we've got the durable goods, which the Consensus Bureau release. That's at 9:30 tonight.
Right.
For some context there, back in 2017, in the good year of 2017, when Singapore was a very strong stock market, one of the strongest advanced economies in the world, the durable goods orders in the US had actually averaged monthly year-on-year growth rates of around 0.8%, which was quite strong.
Right.
And then the following year in 2018, that came down to 0.4%. And then for the first 11 months of last year, it was negative 0.4%. So whether it's a jobs data, whether it's the US Empire State Manufacturing number we saw a couple of weeks ago, or these tonight's number, it's still quite tentative, the outlook for global trade via the manufacturing value chain. And hence, yeah, Brexit is a big part of that too.
Okay, Brexit's a big part of it. You've got the US president going after Europe again after, you know, now that he signed his first phase trade deal with China, he's trying to get something out of Europe. I'm not really at this point what that might be.
Well, and there's also plenty of tension on the impeachment hearings.
Sure, there is. Although, of course, the outcome of that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, that's what you think. Yeah, that's what everybody says.
I mean, I would be very surprised.
Yeah, I think the market would be. Absolutely. It would be a surprise. It would be a huge surprise. But nonetheless, it does take focus and attention in terms of there's a very small element of uncertainty, but then you add all the other elements of uncertainty in the market, then that can create this rebalancing and reshuffling that we're seeing.
So all of this uncertainty between the US and Europe, between the US and whoever they then want to ratchet up tensions with, the uncertainty with the Wuhan coronavirus. For investors, what do you think they should be thinking about? I mean, okay, from a human point of view, the government issues statements that say don't panic, which is a very, very useful piece of advice. Don't panic because you're going to do something stupid. But for the markets, for the investors, what's good advice for them?
Yeah.
Hang in there because it's all going to be just fine in a couple of months.
We'll follow it closely. Obviously, as we said, containment and self-awareness and awareness of your own health and the health around us is the most important issue.
Sure.
But if you have the time, you look at the markets. If you've recently come back from China and you've got a couple of weeks that hopefully that you're very well and haven't been affected, then you might want to do some homework. And if you wanted to do the homework, there are plenty of sectors here in Singapore and plenty of stocks here in Singapore that don't just have exposure to Singapore but have exposure around the region. So we've got pretty much every type of business covered in terms of what our stock market offers investors. You can look into, if you are interested in the healthcare sector, it's not just hospitals and clinics, there's medical supplies, there's high-tech equipment, there's a couple of REITs that are investing exclusively into healthcare properties. And, of course, you have some of the newer catalyst stocks as well that are health and digital related. So there's a lot, and that's just one example of one sector. But there's obviously diversity is really important, is particularly given that where we're coming into 2020, we were seeing a lot of the sectors across the world move in sync.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were investing in US REITs or Singapore REITs, your returns wouldn't have been too different. Likewise, US banks, Singapore banks, returns wouldn't have been that much different. Same with industrials, materials, and so forth. Hence, there is that sector difference, more so than country differences these days. And I would encourage investors to look at the recent performances of different sectors and just look at the elements of diversity that can be offered. And of course, there's that gold ETF, which investors have been looking at, obviously, because the turnover of the gold ETF this year compared to last year is up almost 80%.
Which is encouraging. Okay, so you definitely have some homework to do and there's definitely deals out there for you to find. Now, Jeff Howie is going to be here on Primetime as well, covering for JP. You're going to be a busy man today.
Yeah, looking forward to being here. Thank you so much.
Jeff Howie, SGX market strategist and for today, broadcaster. This has been Market View on Workday Afternoon on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.